Hello, Internet family. This is Anjanette Potter, also known as Adam's Rib, and you are listening to the Smart Black Girls Club podcast. So today's episode is going to be the last episode. I talked about the term Oreo and how problematic it is and how it has racist overtones, because it's really another way of punishing other black people for doing well. It's also another way of punishing us for, quote, acting white. And in this case, acting white never seems to mean doing things that are derogatory. It usually means doing things that are considered in the white world to be achievements towards success. Okay, I've never heard a black person use that term and not have it be something that was trying to manipulate another black person into doing things that were going to negatively impact their life. Okay, now that's my experience with that word. It really is. Never. And the last time someone tried to use that word, they were trying to basically turn me into somebody that they could pass around the entire denomination sexually. So I'm right. Okay, I'm right. You know, when you're saying it, I don't even, and let me say this, it's just not it coming out of black lips, because I don't really like for white people to use it either, especially since it's a term that probably started with white people. And just like everything else that has been negative, that has been negatively aimed at black people, it's a term that originates with the plantation. So it's really not a cool term to use. And if you are white and seeking to be a white ally, don't use that term, because it's really a fighting word. It's really another way of trying to provoke somebody to do something negative that's going to negatively impact their life. I have yet to hear anybody use that word and have it be a word that they were using to do something positive. So here lately, I've been hearing in a lot of spaces the word gatekeeper. Now, you know, this episode is going to hitchhike off the last episode. And you have people, you know, talking about gatekeeping. The problem is most of their gatekeeping is being aimed at other black people. I ain't seen none of these people yet actually stand up against racism. And, you know, so let me define gatekeeper to begin with. I personally don't believe in it. Black people who want to gatekeep, I think have, you know, selective amnesia. You don't open up a history book and you don't realize the many ways in which gatekeeping was used against us. Now, in some cases, gatekeeping produced some positive results. One of the reasons we have historically black colleges and universities is because of white gatekeeping, because of people who didn't want us to go to school, you know, to study, or Malcolm X's, the people who were told that certain things were an unrealistic goal for us to pursue. And I personally think modern day gatekeeping is a case of get all you can all you get, sit on the can and poison the rest. What you really are is somebody that wants to drag other people down. Okay? You don't. You want to be able to be the picture of success and make somebody else have to go through hell and high water to get to where you are. In other words, you're a crab. Some of what we're seeing is crab. And I'll tell you why. Because I've heard people go, well, we need to preserve the culture. Well, if you're preserving the culture, why are you trying to get people to divest? Why are you trying to get so many black people to swirl? Most people who want to protect their cultures are not promoting interracial dating. Now, I've talked about it. Like I said, my standard before I met up toward people with really, really bad motives was I prefer to marry black, but I was open to the possibility that the husband God has for me may not be black or may not be 100% black. I can deal with 50%. In other words, I can deal with a husband that's 50% black, has one black parent, and a parent of another ethnicity. I can deal with that. Okay, I done seen some fine brothers that's biracial now. I'm not gonna look a gift horse in the mouth. If they got a lot of other characteristics that I like, or their character is on point, or they're not trying to hinder me in my spiritual walk, which is, you know, the most important relationship that you could ever have, according to Christians. Now, I am a born-again Christian, and I happen to believe that. But there's so many people who claim Christianity and say all of that, but then you're trying to mess up somebody else's walk with God so you can appear to be trying to help them. So I'm going to go ahead and get into a couple definitions for gatekeeping, and then we'll talk some more, because I'm also going to talk about racial, ethnic socialization. That's one thing I want to get into. So let me get in here. So a gatekeeper is a person who controls access to something. For example, via a city gate or bouncer, or more abstractly, controls who is granted access to a category or status. Gatekeepers assess who is in or out. In the classic words of management scholar Kurt Lewin, various figures in the religions and mythologies of the world serve as gatekeepers of paradisal or internal realms, granting or denying access to these realms, depending on the credentials of those seeking entry. Figures acting in this capacity may also undertake the status of watchman, interrogator, or judge. In the late 20th century, the term came into metaphorical use, referring to individuals or bodies that decide whether a given message will be distributed by a mass medium. Gatekeepers serve in various roles, including academic admissions, financial advising, and news editing, along with many areas of the fine arts. An academic admissions officer might review students' qualifications based on criteria like test scores, race, social class, grades, family connections, and even athletic ability. Where this internal gatekeeping role is unwanted, open admissions can externalize it. Various gatekeeping organizations administer professional certifications to protect clients from fraud and unqualified advice, for example, financial advisors. A news editor selects stories for publication based on his or her organization's specific criteria. Now, you know, this is all, I found this all on Wikipedia. So I'm going to find another definition here. Is all gatekeeping negative? I don't want to say no. And the reason why I don't want to say no is because the very people that I don't like that are trying to gatekeep will think that that's, you know, me giving them permission to do even more damage than what they've already done. So in the communications world, gatekeeping is the process through which information is filtered or disseminated, whether for publication, broadcasting, the internet, or some other mode of communication. The academic theory of gatekeeping may be found in multiple fields of study, including communication studies, journalism, political science, and sociology. Gatekeeping originally focused on the mass media with its few-to-many dynamic. Currently, the gatekeeping theory also addresses face-to-face communication and the many-to-many dynamic inherent on the internet. So social psychologist Kurt Lewin first instituted gatekeeping theory in 1943. So many of these, so if you look up some of these terms, they actually are nothing new. Many people, when you do the research, have been using these terms for a very long time. What happens is the term evolves. Something as simple as somebody saying "Bye, Felicia." Now, "Bye, Felicia" is a disrespectful term that is meant to, make you feel inferior or make you feel unimportant. "Bye, Felicia" actually originated with the term "Friday," and Felicia was this girl who she looked, like a crackhead. She looked like a crackhead. And she was always bumming money and always, every time they seen her, she had her hand out. She was always begging and bumming, which are usually the standards of a crackhead. She, a female crackhead, every time they seen her, she was always begging and bumming. And so finally they would look at her and go, "Bye, Felicia. We ain't got no money. We ain't got nothing for you to steal. We don't got $5 for you to go buy a rock." Yes, I know, because I have been $5 to death in certain areas. In certain neighborhoods I lived in, girl, they $5 me to death. Okay. Until because, I'm from the days of weed and what's the other one? Heroin. I'm like, ain't no way they buying no drugs with no $5. Until my godmother schooled me. She said they can indeed buy a $5 rock. They could even buy a $5 bag. Like, they sell bags for less than $10. Listen, I come from a family full of weed heads. I know all about that. I know all about that dime bag. Now I guess you can buy a nickel bag. What do I know, right? when you don't buy it on a regular basis, you don't know. But like I said, it's a term that evolves and becomes, we stamp on it, mesh it out, and it becomes something else. Back to gatekeeping. So let me see here. Gatekeeping occurs at all levels of the media structure, from a reporter deciding which sources are presented in a headline story, to editors choosing which stories are printed or covered, including but not limited to media outlet owners and advertisers. Yeah, because if you've ever heard of people losing advertising because of a particular story or because of, a particular person, one place where they really worry about advertisers is if a celebrity gets into a certain amount of trouble and they're a regular actor on a TV program, people will fire that person because advertisers will threaten to pull their ads from that particular show. I don't want my ad, running during that show because the actor went out here and did something really egregious. So when we hear about that in media, we're typically hearing about somebody that's done something that, audiences don't like, and people don't want their brand associated with that particular person, so they will pull their ads. Okay, let me see here. Let's talk about hierarchy of influences. So why am I so against gatekeeping? So I'm against unknown caller, and I see some of my gatekeepers are showing up during my podcast. So, I am against it because, like I said before, one of the reasons why we have the Jay-Z's, Diddy, and Bad Boy L.A. Reid, and others like Lenny Kravitz and Prince and different other people that have their own record label is because we didn't want to have to fool with the gatekeeping that goes on with major labels. Okay, and like I said, if you're a black person or got any even a little bit of hint of color, you have had to deal with the whole gatekeeping thing from everything from jobs to college admissions. And the bad thing is now you have black people gatekeeping other black people. You know, someone tried to sell it on to me by the whole cultural appropriation thing. And I was like, well, cultural appropriation is a different, we need to gatekeep it to keep it away from certain people. And I'm like, okay, but you're talking about divesting. And many, you know, believe it or not, there are people who gatekeep Christianity. It's not possible because you can get saved anywhere. I can talk with you and pray with you to receive Christ in a parking lot. And I've done it. I've ministered to people and they've accepted Christ in a parking lot. They've accepted Christ in somebody's backyard. You can't put a limit on where somebody decides to have a relationship with God. But there are people who try to do it. I don't like it because I see the danger. A pastor from a former church of mine said one of the reasons why you are so quick to throw up danger signs is because you are a visionary. You're a person who sees the long-term potential damage of certain type of behavior. And so when I see something and it looks, especially if it looks dangerous for me, but it doesn't always have to be dangerous for me to perceive it as dangerous behavior. And I've had many times where I've told people, I don't think so. Do I believe in the whole gatekeeping thing? No. Because their mouths are saying protect our, you know, culture from whites who seek to appropriate. And, you know, I can, you know, there's points of that I can understand. Because some people don't see the value in other people's culture. I look at this one program on YouTube where the guy is the slavery Holocaust museum. They have Holocaust museums for Jews, but they also have slavery museums for black people to look at our history and to look at some of the things that have been done to us historically so that we can learn from it and not make those same mistakes. And so one of the things the guy talked about was caricatures. And blackface is, you know, a form of caricature. So the danger in stuff like blackface and other different things is the behavior that accompanies it. So on my last podcast, I think I talked about the Biggest Loser, the program Biggest Loser, if you've ever looked at it. And I wondered while I was watching it, because I used to watch it. I used to be a reality TV fanatic. So I would watch it while I was doing my homework for undergrad and different stuff like that. And I always wondered, like, how well are those people being treated? Like, to get the results, because there is a tremendous amount of fat phobia out there. There is a lot of people that have been taught some really negative ways to deal with people being heavy. And so one of the things that they mentioned was the tendency to stereotype fat people. Now, when you stereotype someone and the fact that, you know, once you stereotype someone and you cleave to that stereotype, it affects how you treat them, which is one of the reasons why with Adam's Rib Media Ministry, I have a policy of not following black male content. I have a policy of not following content creators that dog certain cultures. So if I hear you and you're saying a whole bunch of negative stuff toward Latins, probably not going to follow you because sooner or later you're going to get around to black people or some other ethnic group. Now, if you dog single moms, not going to listen to you because I'm a single mom. And I recognize, and I realize we're not as bad as you try to make us out to be. Plus, like I said before, the current stuff that's been being aimed at single moms is really supernatural warfare. I do believe it's the devil. If your church teaches, that certain women are disqualified from marriage and that it's okay for God to use them for sex, probably not going to follow you. If you are a black man who habitually dogs black women and tells other men that black women are the bottom of the barrel and not useful for marriage and only useful for sex, probably not going to follow you because I am a black woman and I know plenty of black women who are married and good wives. And I plan to be one of them. But one of the things that the person was saying about the biggest loser was because of the negative stereotyping against fat people, guess what they did? They began to treat them like they were lazy. There's a difference between, because most professional weight loss experts that help are personal trainers that help people that are very, very, especially if they're very obese, because you cannot be morbidly obese and go and do the same workout, like the same workout as, like, say, a Billy Blanks. You're not going to be able to do that. If a person is morbidly obese and they try to do Billy Blanks, they're going to pass out and die. Okay? It's really bad for your health to try and do a heavy-duty workout and you're over 500 pounds. You have to crawl before you can walk when it comes to certain types of obesity. And from what they were saying behind the scenes, the, you know, very obese were being bullied. They were being mistreated. Now, translate into people's feelings about black people. Translate that into people's personal feelings about women who have babies out of wedlock. Okay. Translate that into the fact that in many churches there may be some human trafficking going on. Okay, see, this is where gatekeeping can be dangerous, because gatekeepers don't always tend to tell you the whole truth about why they're gatekeeping and what the results of their gatekeeping is. Okay? They might tell you, well, it's to protect our culture and to make sure things stay pure. But you look in, there's a quote in the Bible where Samuel talks to King Saul. And King Saul approaches Samuel, the prophet Samuel, and says, I have done all you have commanded, my Lord. And Samuel says, you've done everything that I told you God commanded, then why am I hearing the bleating of sheep? Okay, so the original command that Samuel gave Saul was that he was to go into this land and he was to wipe out everybody. Cattle, all of it. Not to leave one person alive. That's a deep command, ain't it? Don't leave one person alive means don't leave one person alive. Saul got it into his mind to take the best and leave it alive and left their leader alive. And but wipe out the inferior stock, but keep the best alive. That wasn't what was commanded of him. So when Samuel said, why am I here? In other words, I still hear signs of life. I still hear the bleating of sheep. I still hear signs of life. So that tells me you didn't do what you were told. Now, when I hear gatekeepers talk about gatekeeping, I'm hearing the bleating of sheep, because like I said, if you were really concerned about preserving culture, you would not be trafficking women. And a lot of this divest nonsense sound like they're trying to get black women for white men. Okay. Now, I've already said, I want black women to find love wherever they can find it. If you meet a white man and that white man is making you happy, I'm not talking about that. Because there's a difference between divesting and just good old-fashioned interracial marriage. If you are being commanded by somebody in your church to be in a forced marriage with anybody, I don't care what color they are. I don't care if they're your same color. Okay? That's not what I'm seeing with this divest movement. What I'm seeing with this, like I said before, I don't believe that the current pressure on black women to swirl is coming from God. Because, number one, there is neither Greek nor Hebrew. All are one in Christ. God is looking at the person's heart and their character, not their color. Okay? Most people, when they want to preserve a culture, will mate within that culture. I'm mating outside because, number one, you know, trying to marry us can be somebody trying to thin out the herd. Y'all becoming too numerous. It's time for us to hurry up and marry you and mate with you so we can get rid of some of y'all. Okay? I don't put nothing past people. There is nothing new under the sun. So with the whole gatekeeping thing, it's kind of a no for me, simply because I have watched black people be gatekept. I can remember being a part of the original set that got gatekept, and it was when they were trying to keep us out of white institutions. Okay, we had to build our own, and we did it, you know, successfully we did it. And all of that happy stuff there. But people who wish to gatekeep against other black people, okay, you need to crack open the history book, because we were kept out of a lot of stuff. And the bad thing is, if you're really preserving culture, why are you trying to keep other black people out? Why are you trying to keep other black people out? Why are you trying to trade black people to white people as though you have the ability to when you don't? You can't tell somebody how black they can be. The reason why we have social media, the reason why we have blogs, the reason why we have YouTube, and Vimeo, and guess what? I'm on both. I'm on Vimeo and YouTube. Okay, yeah. When I decided I wanted to do online ministry, I went full Monty. So I'm pretty much on a whole lot of different platforms when it comes to where I post my stuff. On top of the fact that I'm podcasted through Spotify for Podcasters, and my stuff is now on Apple, on iTunes. So I'm on a whole lot of podcast networks already. So, you know, you can't stop anything. You know, if I want to spread the message of the gospel, I'm free to do it anywhere. If I'm wanting to spread the message of feminism or Christian feminism, I'm pretty much anywhere you look. And that's cool with me. The reason why we have freedom of the press, the reason why we have all of these freedoms, is because at one point these freedoms weren't allowed for everybody. One of the reasons why YouTube, and just about anybody can open up a YouTube, is because of the other platforms that people were kept out of. Okay? Not everybody is spreading misinformation. I try to keep it as informed as I possibly can, because I don't want to be another person that spreads anything false. But the reason why we have these freedoms is because of gatekeepers. Because after a while, you get sick and tired of it. Okay? And it can be harmful. All gatekeeping isn't terrible, but some gatekeeping is very harmful. And so you have to watch what you agree with. You know, there can be behavior where people want to, you know, do something a certain way. And, you know, like I said before, I understand the whole argument against cultural appropriation. You know, I understand wanting, but not all of it is the preservation of culture. Some people are up to some mess. And some people are being bullied. So anyway, you know, I'm going to continue probably the next two podcasts. I may talk about, you know, socialization and talk about classism and different other stuff, because these are things that do affect us in our community. You know, there are people that are up to some stuff. And so we have to be careful, you know, who we put our trust in. Ultimately, we should put our trust in Jesus Christ. Okay, I always believe that God, Yahweh, has our best interests at heart. How many times have you had people be in error? Okay, just because you genuinely believe something does not mean that what you believe is true. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Just because something says that it's pro-black doesn't always mean that it is pro-black. You have to be open to other opinions. You have to be open to unpopular opinions. So I'm going to go ahead and close this particular episode, and I'm seeing that this is about 30 minutes. I think 30 minutes is good for a podcast that is not necessarily an interview or not more than one person talking. When I get to the point where I have call-ins or answering questions as I'm doing it, like I do with live broadcasts, then maybe I'll extend it. But for right now, I'm going to go ahead. I feel the spirit saying enough. Last night, I said it during one of my live this morning, because I didn't go live last night, but I went live this morning. So I was on a spiritual high last night. I went to rehearsal, and which is my therapy. And I came out of rehearsal. So normally when I come out of rehearsal, I reward myself by listening to my favorite radio station and listening to, by the way, if you are in the Columbus area and you listen to 94.5.5, the evening radio show is now being hosted by Ralph Tresvant. If y'all, the ladies who were New Edition fans when they were in their teens, remember Ralph being, you know, their crush. Many of y'all, Ralph was your crush back in the New Edition days. He is now on 95.5. He's doing what they call Midnight Storm, you know, type. the old slot that John Mons used to have, he now has. And he, once again, it's, you know, mainly a lot of love songs. Ralph is doing a pretty good job. You know, I have to give it to him if he, you know, I know what kind of background he has with that. But, you know, show your love, give him a, if you are somewhere where, you know, his radio show is playing, it plays from 7 o'clock to around, I think either 11 or midnight. Love songs, and he sounds good. So, you know, if you want to give your former, if you want to give your high school or middle school crush, he wasn't one of mine. New Edition kind of came around. I remember Candy Girl, and that was when I was in high school. So I've been to see them in concert, I'd say twice as New Edition. And then the last time I saw them, I saw Belle Biv DeVoe. And that was at the Cincinnati, Jazz Fest. And it was a good show. They still got the ability to bring it. Ricky, you know, Ralph, of course, was a favorite. He had a really, you know, had a really beautiful voice. Ricky Bell, you ain't heard no singing till you hear Ricky Bell sing live. Oh my God. We saw them, the first time we saw them was here in Columbus at the Ohio Center. And chow. Ricky sang us, we was ready to eat carpet. Okay. But they were like a little after my time because they were, you know, younger, of course. And so, you know, I was more of a Jackson 5 and Prince, and, you know, so my crushes were a little bit older. But if you are in a city that is going to be, and I think like anymore, you can get the app to your radio station. I have the app to Magic 95.5 on my iPhone. So you can download the app to the radio station and just listen to the radio station and don't got to be in your car. That's the one thing I love about today's technology is I don't have to be in my car to listen to it. Like the old days, once we parked in front of our house, if our song was on, we had to sit right there. We had to make the distinction. We either gonna sit here and listen to the song and then get out, which is cool. That's, you know, but if you got stuff in your car, like your groceries or whatever, then you were in bondage to that. Nowadays, I can, you know, turn the car off and go to my phone and bring that radio station up and finish listening to it as I finish bringing my stuff in the house. So it's all good for me. But like I said, if you are anywhere where, you know, Google, you know, Ralph Tresvant radio host or whatever, and look up what stations you feel like he's going to be on, and show your former high school or middle school crush some love and listen to his program when you can. He, like I said, I've been listening to it, and so I listen to it when I come out of practice. I wind up listening to it, and he's on 5 days a week. He's on, I think Sunday through Thursday. So, you know, like I said, show him some love, comment where you can, tell him where he's doing, what he's doing good. Don't tear a brother down. Don't be negative. If you feel like he should talk more, or you feel like something else, say it, but say it in a nice way. Don't be a gatekeeper. Don't be mean. Like, be nice, be kind. Okay, you know, learn how to do good criticism. But anyway, I came off of, after that shameless plug, I came out of that and I was listening, so I was really like, and I'll tell you, I came home and I watched, I rotated between The Voice and the iHeartRadio Awards, so I was going back and forth, and I was high. If you have ever been high in the spirit in your life, you know what I'm talking about. So that's one of the reasons I didn't live broadcast last night, because I was just like out of it. I was just like, woof, that, you know. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get off here because now, you know, a little bit over. But I think I'm going to stay in this little stream of consciousness that has to do with classism. And so we're now going into Black classism. And like I said, the dangers. You have to be so careful, because things can be worded in such a way. Oh, protection of the culture. Okay, but when you protect the culture, you protect the whole culture. You don't get to pick and choose who you're going to protect. Okay, you have to protect everybody. So I'm going to go ahead and get off here. I will be... These two podcasts will be up this evening. And as I said before, I'm just going to be doing two podcasts a day. And on Saturday, everything will be up on YouTube. So I will talk to you guys later. That's the sound of me blowing you a kiss. Enjoy your day. Hello, you have reached the message line for Adam's Rib Media Ministry. If you would like to give me a shout out, recommend some topics for discussion, or give an opinion about some topics that I've already discussed, either here on my podcast or on my blogs, leave me a message and I will get right back to you. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.